All right, so today we're doing a deep dive, and we're going to be talking about contract law.
It's good.
Specifically, a case called Tyra v. Cheney. And
Oh yeah, a classic.
yeah, it's pretty foundational when it comes to contract law. So,
Take one for law students.
especially for law students, this is one you
Okay.
really got to know about.
Okay.
So, for our listeners out there, if you're in law school, this is,
Buckle up.
yeah, definitely pay attention. So, this case is really all about fairness. When it comes to contracts, specifically, like what happens if there's a mistake in a contract, right? And the other person, the other party knows about it.
Oh, yeah. Tricky situation. That's when things get interesting.
Yeah, that's when things get messy. And so this is a case that explores that and kind of sets a precedent that's still being used today.
100 years later, yeah.
Yeah, 100 years later. So
Crazy, right?
yeah, it's pretty crazy. Let's dive into it. So this case happened way back in 1915.
Setting the stage.
Yeah, and it involved a school renovation project. And there were two main people involved. You had Cheney, who
Right.
was the general contractor, and then you had Tyra,
Got
who
it.
was the subcontractor. So
Well,
Cheney's the one kind of running the whole project.
overseeing everything
Right. And then he hires Tyra,
to do a specific part of it.
right, to do a specific part. So Tyra gives Cheney an oral bid first for the work, and that came out to about $4,025.
Initial number. Okay.
Initial number, yeah. And a really important thing to note is that that price included about $963 for work on a new section of the school building.
So a significant chunk of that overall number.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
But then when Tyra had to submit a formal written bid, he accidentally left out that $963 item.
Oops.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the written bid ended up being way lower, around $3,062.
Big difference, yeah.
Huge difference.
So what happened next? That's kind of a key moment.
So what's really interesting is that initially Cheney told Tyra that his bid was too high, right? Referring to that first higher bid. But then later on, he tells Tyra to go ahead and start the work based on that written bid, the one that was way lower.
So he's getting a much better deal than he initially thought he would.
Right. And it makes you wonder if Cheney knew about the mistake in the written bid, right?
Yeah. Definitely raises some red flags.
Definitely. So Tyra probably thought that the final written bid reflected what they talked about earlier, that full cost. So he went ahead and finished the work.
Makes sense.
But then when it came time to get paid, that's when the problem started.
The fun begins, yeah.
Tyra sued Cheney because he wanted to be paid the reasonable value of the work he did, which was obviously more than that mistaken lower bid.
Makes sense. What did Janie say?
Cheney said he never even got that first oral estimate, that $4,000 one. He claimed the only agreement they had was based on that lower written bid.
Oh, so basically just trying to stick to the letter of that last piece of paper.
Exactly. So they completely disagreed about what the real terms of their deal were.
Classic contract dispute. Happens all the time. So what happened next? Did they go to trial?
Yeah, I went to trial, and the jury actually sided with Tyra. They said he should get paid more than what the written bid said.
Interesting. So the jury saw it Tyra's way.
I did.
What did Cheney do? I bet he wasn't happy.
No, he wasn't. He filed some motions after the trial. One was for judgment notwithstanding the verdict, meaning he thought the jury's decision was wrong based on the law.
Right.
And the other was for a new trial because he claimed there were some problems with how the trial was run.
Yeah.
But the trial court denied both of those motions.
So they upheld the jury's verdict.
Yeah. So Cheney took it to the next level. He appealed to the Minnesota Supreme Court.
Taking it all the way to the top.
Yeah, and that's where things get really important legally. The big question for the Supreme Court was, can a contractor, like Cheney in this case, hold a subcontractor to a written bid price when he knows that bid has a big mistake in it?
Right. And the subcontractor didn't even know about the mistake when they started the work.
Exactly. So basically, can you take advantage of someone's mistake in a bid if you know about it?
Big question.
Big question.
What did they say?
Well, the Minnesota Supreme Court came out with a pretty clear rule. You can't enforce a contract if you know the other side made a big mistake in their bid.
Okay.
And the person who made the mistake didn't realize it when the contract was made or when they were told to start the work.
So that's a pretty big deal. It basically says you can't just stay silent and benefit from someone's error.
Right. That's the whole idea behind Tyra v. Cheney.
It's all about fairness in the process, right?
Exactly.
So how did they reach that conclusion? What was their reasoning?
Well, one of the key things here is this idea of a unilateral mistake.
Unilateral, meaning one-sided.
Right. It means only one person in the contract made a mistake about something really important in the agreement. In this case, the court saw that Tyra leaving out the $963 was just a clerical
Sort of
error.
oversight.
Yeah, like he just forgot to include it.
But it wasn't intentional.
Right.
Okay, so that's the mistake part. But like you said, just because someone makes a mistake doesn't automatically void the contract.
Right. It really matters what Chaney knew and when he knew it.
Right. So what did the court focus on there?
Well, there was evidence presented at the trial that suggested Chaney probably knew about that missing $963.
Even though he said he didn't get that initial oral bid.
Yeah, even though he denied that.
Mm-hmm.
But remember how he told Tyra that first bid was too high?
Yeah, that seems suspicious.
Exactly. It makes it seem like he had some idea of what the total price was supposed to be.
Right.
And the jury instructions were also important. They were told to think about whether Chaney knew about the mistake and whether Tyra thought his written bid was correct when Chaney told him to go ahead with the work.
So they had to consider both sides of the story.
Right. And the fact that the jury sided with Tyra means they believed that Chaney knew about the mistake and that Tyra didn't.
Right. So the Minnesota Supreme Court agreed with that.
Yeah, they did. They emphasized that for a contract to be valid, there has to be a real meeting of the minds, you know?
Like a true understanding and agreement on what the deal is.
Right. They have to agree on the essential terms and especially on the price.
And that's where that quote about snapping up an offer comes in, right?
Right. The court said, and this is a famous line, one cannot snap up an offer knowing it was made in mistake.
Yeah, it's a great line. And it gets to the heart of the matter.
Basically, if you know the other person messed up their offer, you can't just accept it and pretend that creates a real agreement.
Because there's no real mutual understanding.
Right. As the court put it, if Chaney knew about the mistake in Tyra's bid and that Tyra didn't know about it, then Chaney couldn't claim they had agreed on the price just because he told Tyra to start the work.
Got it. So there was no real agreement on the price.
Exactly. But the work was already done, so how did the court deal with that?
That's where quantum merit comes in.
Right. Since the court said there wasn't a real contract because of the mistake, they had to find a way to make things fair for Tyra.
Because he did the work.
Right. Quantum merit is basically a way for the court to say, okay, there wasn't a real contract, but it wouldn't be right to let Chaney benefit from Tyra's work without paying him a fair price.
Right, because otherwise Chaney would be unjustly enriched.
Exactly. So instead of getting stuck with that super low price from the written bid, Tyra got to be paid what his work was actually worth.
So that's a big takeaway for law students. Quantum merit as a remedy when there's no enforceable contract.
Definitely.
Now, looking back on this case, why is Tyra V. Chaney still considered so important in contract law? Why do we still talk about it today?
I mean, it's over 100 years old, but it's still relevant.
Right. I think one of the big things is that it shows how important good faith is when you're making a contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about being nice. It's a legal requirement.
Right. You can't just ignore mistakes if you know about them.
Right. You have to be honest and fair, even before you sign anything official.
And it also helps us see the difference between regular contracts, what we call express contracts, where both sides clearly agree to everything.
Right.
And these quasi-contract remedies like quantum merit, which the court uses to make things fair when something goes wrong with a regular contract.
Yeah, like when there's a mistake that throws everything off.
Exactly. And Tyra V. Chaney is cited all the time in cases where there's a unilateral mistake.
Yeah, it's like a cornerstone case for those situations.
Definitely. So for all of you future lawyers out there, what are the key things to remember from this case?
Well, first of all, courts can throw out a contract if there's clear evidence of a mistake, especially if the other person knew about the mistake.
That's a big one.
Yeah. And like we said, good faith is super important in contract law. You can't just keep quiet about a mistake and benefit from it. That can have real consequences.
So don't be sneaky, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. And finally, always remember quantum merit. That's the tool courts can use to make sure everyone gets paid fairly when a contract falls apart because of something like a mistake.
Right. So as you're learning about contracts, remember that it's not just about the words on paper. It's about how people act, what they know, and whether things are fair.
Exactly. It's about the whole context. Tyra V. Chaney is a great reminder of that.
It really is. So as you move forward in your legal careers, keep this case in mind. It's a good reminder that contract law isn't always black and white.
Yeah, there's a lot of gray area.
Definitely.
You know, this case makes me think about the bigger picture, too. How do these principles of good faith and fairness play out in negotiations in general?
That's a good question.
It's easy to say, be honest, but in the real world, things can get complicated.
Yeah, for sure.
So how do we balance trying to get the best deal for ourselves with the need to be ethical and fair to the other side? And how do these ideas from Tyra V. Cheney apply to the huge, complex deals that happen in business today? Those are things worth thinking about.
Definitely. It's something to keep in mind as you go out there and start dealing with contracts in the real world.
Absolutely.
Well, that's our deep dive into Tyra V. Cheney. Hopefully it's given everyone some food for thought.
Good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff.
Until next time.
All right, see ya.